BBC Radio 4, this is PM. The News of the World phone hacking scandal has gone on for so long and now involves so many hundreds of people, many of them lawyers, it can be hard to get a grip on what matters. To help you and me, this morning, before James Murdoch's evidence began, we asked someone very close to this story to set out what he wanted to hear from Mr. Murdoch. Mark Lewis is a solicitor who's represented some of the phone hacking victims.
What I'm hoping to hear today is probably what I won't hear today. He's going to be asked, I'm sure, some questions to explain the disparity between the evidence given by the former editor, Colin Myler, by the former in-house lawyer, Tom Crone, and his evidence the first time around that there is a disparity, really about what is known as the Four Neville email, as to whether he had knowledge. But if you step aside and look at the position, James Murdoch really is going to have to explain, did he not bother to tell the shareholders, and did he not bother to look at why such a large amount of money was being paid by a cheque that he signed? I'm sure he would have had to ask that. So really, it's whether or not he was incompetent or worse. That's the question that they will be trying to find out. The MPs will look if it was worse, if he did know, but he misled them.
Mark Lewis, and just after he recorded that for us, he went off to the Wilson Room in Portcullis House in London for the committee hearing, and he'll join us live in a moment to let us know whether those questions were answered. But you can draw your own conclusions first, with the help of our chief political correspondent, Gary O'Donoghue, who was also listening to James Murdoch's evidence. Gary.
Eddie, after a member of the public hurled a plate of foam in the face of Murdoch Sr. last time around, police were assiduous today in searching everyone who went into the Wilson Room in Portcullis House. This mammoth session went on for 2.5 hours, with Murdoch Jr. at times seeming hesitant and nervous, and at times defiant and self-assured. Last time around, his father had admitted that meeting the family of Millie Dowler, the murdered schoolgirl whose phone had been hacked, was the most humbling experience of his life. Today, his son repeated that sentiment.
I think we're all humbled by it and trying to improve the business, improve the structures and leadership across all of the operating companies to make sure that these things don't happen again, because they are something that I'm very sorry about.
One issue that's particularly riled the Culture Committee is the way that News International's newspapers have criticised Parliament, referring to the members of the committee itself as a disgrace when they published their report on hacking in 2010. Today, James Murdoch sought to explain and apologise for the way the company had behaved towards the questioning of its working practices.
At various times through this process, the company, and I am sorry for this, the company moved into an aggressive defense too quickly, and it was too easy for the company to do that with all of the noise and clamor around the business. And I think that particularly with respect to the early 2010 report, a more forensic look at the specific evidence that had been given to this committee in 2009 would have been something that we could have done.
The main reason Mr. Murdoch was recalled today was to explain discrepancies between his account of one key meeting in 2008 and those given by two other senior executives. Both the News of the World editor at the time, Colin Myler, and the then legal manager, Tom Crone, say they informed Mr. Murdoch about an email which demonstrated that wrongdoing was widespread at the paper. Mr. Murdoch says the wider significance of that email wasn't made clear to him, and all he took from it was that it meant the paper would have to settle a claim by the head of the Professional Footballers Association, Gordon Taylor, whose phone had been hacked. The Labour MP, Tom Watson, who's been at the vanguard of the inquiry, went to the point.
Did you mislead this committee in your original testimony?
No, I did not.
So if you didn't, who did?
As I've written to you and I've said publicly, I believe this committee was given evidence by individuals either without full possession of the facts, or now it appears in the process of my own discovery and trying to understand as best I can what actually happened here, it was economical.
And just to be clear, who was being economical?
Certainly in the evidence that they gave to you in 2011, with respect to my knowledge, I thought it was inconsistent and not right. And so I dispute it vigorously.
So you think Mr. Crone misled us?
That it follows that I did, yes.
And so do you think Mr. Myler misled us as well?
I believe their testimony was misleading, and I dispute it.
No formal record of that meeting has ever emerged, let alone a recording, which in effect means it's two men's word against one man's word. The committee will simply have to decide who they believe. They may not be all that disposed towards Mr. Murdoch, though, given revelations this week that in the past 18 months the company hired private investigators to follow not just lawyers working for some of the victims of phone hacking, but at least one member of the Culture Committee itself, the very same Tom Watson. Mr. Murdoch was ready with another apology.
Mr. Crone and another News of the World employee at the time did engage certain private investigators to the details around it. I'm not sure as you describe it, but to surveil plaintiff's lawyers. And I want to say for the record, it is appalling. It is something I would never condone, and the company should never condone. And it was shocking when I found it out. It's just unacceptable.
The police, of course, are continuing to investigate hacking, with the latest estimate suggesting more than 5,700 people could have been targeted. One committee member, the Labour MP Steve Rotherham, put it to James Murdoch that he couldn't rule out the involvement of other papers like The Sun, and maybe that would have to close too.
I think, Mr. Rotherham, it's important to not prejudge the outcome of any investigations. Nor is it, I think, appropriate to prejudge what actions the company might take to deal with those. Pardon me?
Don't rule it out.
I don't think we can rule, and I shouldn't rule, any corporate reaction or to behavior of wrongdoing out. That'll be a decision taken at the time.
The session, while mostly calm and polite, did on occasion take on a distinctly chilly tone, not least when the Labour MP Tom Watson likened James Murdoch to a mafia boss.
Mr. Murdoch, you must be the first mafia boss in history who didn't know he was running a criminal enterprise.
Mr. Watson, please. I think that's inappropriate. Mr. Chairman.
That chairman is John Whittingdale of the Culture Committee. He says it's unlikely that there will be any more hearings. It's now up to his committee to decide who they believe. Eddie.
Thanks for that. Let's return to Mark Lewis, as promised, a solicitor who's represented some of the phone hacking victims. Now, you wanted to hear about the disparity in evidence given previously between Mr. Murdoch and the former News of the World editor Colin Myler and the former in-house lawyer Tom Crone, and he was quite direct about that, wasn't he?
He was direct. He was saying that they both misled Parliament, and as your correspondent said, it's two against one. I think the committee possibly ought not to get too hung up by the detail, because of course it's not finding out whether two were telling the truth or one was telling the truth. It's possible that all three misled Parliament at different times, so you still have to, I suppose we're no closer to the answer. What we had earlier today was an opportunity for James Murdoch to correct what he'd said in July if he wanted to correct it, and he chose not to. He stuck with the same story, although he did put blame on to both Tom Crone and Colin Myler to say that they had misled the committee.
And did you get a clear answer to something else that was in your mind beforehand, whether there was merely incompetence here or something worse?
Well, James Murdoch had... It was almost like watching Fawlty Towers with Manuel. All he kept saying, as far as I was concerned, was, I know nothing, I didn't see anything, I was away, I didn't see anything. And if you analyse it, and this is perhaps a difference between a parliamentary select committee and a courtroom, going through documents and cross-examining people thoroughly, not just over a small time period of 2.5 hours, but maybe 2.5, 3.5 days, then what you would see is, look, for example, it came out today that James Murdoch thought that Tom Crone's authority was to settle cases up to £10,000. He accepted that Tom Crone's had negotiated Gordon Taylor's case up to £350,000 before he got involved. When asked the question, did you ask Tom Crone why he'd gone up to £350,000 if he only had authority to go up to £10,000, he said not. When he was asked about the Max Clifford case, he said, I wasn't aware of the deal, but the deal, he confirmed, was a £1 million deal plus legal costs. It's an odd thing for someone very senior in a company to say he knows nothing about that sort of deal.
So some limitations perhaps in the forum and what it could achieve. What about what some of the MPs came up with, particularly that line of questioning about the mafia?
Well, I think one has to listen very carefully to what Tom Watson said, because he said it's a mafia boss who didn't know that the company was getting up to criminal activity. Well, if you look at the company, if you start, there is a company at which potentially there were thousands of criminal activities going on in terms of hacking phones. After that, there was a cover-up of it. Then we get to the stage of the lawyers for the claimants being followed and being under surveillance. That actually does sound like the mafia. I know you showed or played out lots of sighs when Tom Watson had said that. I'm not sure if those sighs were from people in the mafia complaining about being compared to News International. The organisation was doing things which was very mafia-like. Whether or not James Murdoch, if one accepts his explanation, he knew nothing about anything.
Thank you for joining us. Mark Lewis, a solicitor representing some of the phone hacking victims. 516.